Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
For 23 years, Oregon's 3rd Congressional District has been represented by the same man in a bow tie. This election cycle, however, Albert Lee is challenging Representative Earl Blumenauer for the 2020 Democratic primary for Oregon's 3rd District. Oregon's 3rd Congressional District covers most of Multnomah County, including Gresham, Troutdale, and the greater part of Portland. It also encompasses the northeastern part of Clackamas County. Lee is a veteran of the United States Army and most recently was academic dean at Portland Community College. He's also endorsed by the Portland Democratic Socialists of America, and if elected, he would be Oregon's first biracial congressman. Welcome to the show, Albert.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, great to be having you on the show tonight. What inspired you at this time to run for office? Why now?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I believe that democracy requires choice. It's something that we haven't had here in over a generation. We face a series of crises here in this district, across the country, and around the world that require bold action now, and not just inspirational, aspirational words. Now, also, I believe in the basic tenets of the Democratic Party when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think it's time that we uplift some new voices from some other backgrounds, from some other lived experiences to represent us here in the most diverse district of our state. And then finally, I think it's time that we end this oligarchy of career elite multimillionaire politicians ruling over us and replacing them with citizen representatives who know the struggle, who won't take corporate contributions, and who will truly represent and fight for the people.
We were talking earlier, and you mentioned that you had filed in April, and since then you've been highlighting issues that the 3rd District is facing. You touched on that just a moment ago and about how you're familiar with them. Let's talk about homelessness first in the region. What could leadership be doing differently on that issue? What actions would you like to see taken?
Some action, first of all.
Right.
You know, first of all, I got to tell you that I've experienced homelessness myself. In high school, my family faced domestic violence, which in turn led to our homelessness. And we were homeless in battered women's shelters in a couple different states. I ended up graduating after attending 5 different high schools in 3 different states. I know the experience of homelessness from one perspective. And I know that there are many different perspectives that are out there. But when we're talking about homelessness, what the federal government can do is to provide the funds and give it to the local and the county areas to do programs like Housing First. Housing First programs that they have in areas like Salt Lake City, New Orleans, and examples in Scandinavia that work very well.
Well, I mean, the solution for houselessness is a home.
You got it.
Right?
Yeah.
That first things first. Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly. Another issue that a lot of people are concerned about, it's a major political topic this year, the climate emergency. What should we and could we be doing on a local level that's not being done presently?
Yes. So, you know, we've got to do everything we can to curtail the use of fossil fuels. That's number one. We can do so many different things like investing in our public transit system. I mean, Kansas City just came out with free public transportation for all. And that's one of the things that we talk about on our website, is that we need to incentivize people to get out of their single-use vehicles and to get onto public buses, public trains. That's one thing. We need to also take a look at our entire economic system that's based on a fossil fuel economy and convert it into something that is based on a renewable fuel economy.
So let me ask you, I want to delve into that just a little bit. When you talk about free public transit for all, how do we pay for that? How is that funded? Because, I mean, you know, at this point, you're looking at if you make all the train rides free, all the bus rides free.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you fund that?
So, you know, it's funny that people always ask, how do you pay for services when it comes to helping regular everyday Americans? But when it comes to helping the ultra rich get another tax break, or when it comes to spending ungodly sums of money for military expenditure, foreign policy, we don't discuss those issues. But I'll tell you what, I sat on TriMet's Transit Equity Advisory Committee for over a year. And that was one of the questions that I asked TriMet was, well, how much money do we spend, or how much money is generated from fares? The answer was something around 17%. But then you factor in things like, well, how much do we pay for in fare enforcement? How much do we pay for in administrative costs? All of a sudden, that cost goes down into the single digits. Our collection of revenue goes down to single digits. So it is very easy to get rid of fares and make a public transit policy that is going to help to encourage people to get out of the vehicles. And, you know, that will also help us not do things like, I don't know, expand the Rose Quarter expressway for the amount of money that
I-5
it would cost.
I-5 through the Rose Quarter.
Yeah. And that in turn talks, you're talking about trying to help eliminate the air quality and environmental concerns. So it all wraps together.
Ding, ding, ding. Good answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, you have expressed support for the Green New Deal from Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What inspires you about her program and how would you like to see it executed?
Well, you know, first of all, I got to tell you that when we talk about environmental pollution, it affects Black and brown folks more than any others. I remember growing up in St. Louis. My great-grandfather had a house in Kinloch, which was the first Black suburb that folks were allowed to live in outside of the city back in the early 1900s. Now, this suburb, this Kinloch, was located right next to Lambert International Airport. Now, as Lambert wanted to expand, it was surrounded by a whole bunch of different suburbs. It decided to go through Kinloch because that was the poorest and blackest area. When I was growing up there, we had the noise pollution, we had the fossil fuel pollution, all of these things. So one of the greatest things that I like about AOC's plan is the just transition portion of it, to ensure that we take a look at two things. Number one, we take a look at the folks that are working in the fossil fuel industries and making sure that they are transitioned out of that and they're taken care of. And number two, to ensure that we're looking at the disparate impacts on Black and brown folks and marginalized folks.
Right. Those neighborhoods don't get to scream NIMBY, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So you're a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, same as Bernie, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. What does capitalism, as far as the role of capitalism, how does it play into the issues that we've been discussing?
Well, you know, capitalism is sort of kind of like the root of all evils, right? It is a system that is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and that is to take and extract wealth and push it up to the very top. So again, some of the reasons why we haven't addressed the issues when it comes to the climate is because we've got a lot of fossil fuel companies and corporations and the wealthy that are paying our corporate politicians a lot of money to look the other way. Right. You know, both sides of the aisle.
They're heavily invested in things continuing as they are and in unrestrained growth.
Absolutely.
without the human cost being considered and being factored in. So you advocate for something called economic justice. For people who may not have heard about that idea before, can you explain what that means and how it could be enacted on a personal scale?
Yeah, I mean, so when you're looking at economic justice, right now we arguably have a political democracy, right? You mate that political democracy with economic democracy. So I'll give you an example. The CEO of McDonald's makes more in an hour than the average worker at McDonald's makes in a year. Now, things like that, those obscene amounts of money, that kind of situation would not happen if you actually had workers participating in those boardroom meetings, if they had a say. I don't think you have those obscene amounts of money going to the very top. You would have more regulation. You would have more equality, more fairness if everyone got a say in how to tackle things. Economic justice really means taking a look and making sure that everybody's taken care of and not just focusing on, the automatic focus of formulas of capitalism.
So you sort of answered this next question when you initially started speaking with us, but I want to know, what makes your candidacy different from previous leadership? I mean, Earl Blumenauer is known for his support and, his pursuance of democratic and liberal ideas. So how are you different?
Sure. For a lot of things, we're not going to be voting differently. We're very much aligned when it comes to the votes. Some of the things on the social levels, he had to come kicking and screaming. He voted for the Defense of Marriage Act for one thing. He voted for FOSTA SESTA for another. But generally speaking, he's been a good progressive vote. But we're in one of the most progressive districts of the country. You should be leading from these kind of districts. You should be having Democrats or leftists that are going to push the envelope to make sure that there is a strong distinction between this party and the other side. I think, quite frankly, the reason why Democrats lose across the country is because it's hard to distinguish from the other side. We need to take areas like here, New York 14 is a good example. I mean, when AOC got in, she pushed the envelope, and now she's dictating and helping to shape the message and the direction of the party.
Well, I mean, we need to energize our base and our younger people who are really, excited by the new ideas and a new direction mm-hmm. from what's been before. And I think that's probably something that is at the base of your candidacy as well here. So in your campaign materials, you mentioned a little earlier that you personally have experienced homelessness. What other lived experiences do you have that really inform your candidacy? Can you tell me what sets you apart?
Yes. I mean, I'm a sixth-generation American on the one hand, but I'm also an immigrant. I was born in South Korea, where my African-American Army dad met my Korean mom during the Vietnam War. That in and of itself is something. It is a combination of the foreign policy of the United States that helped to create me in more ways than one. And you juxtapose that. For my dad in the late 60s, early 70s, he had a choice. His choice was either to wait for that draft card or to go ahead and sign up for the military, because there were no other opportunities for a black man out of St. Louis, North County, St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So he chose to sign up. Luckily for me, they sent him to mechanic school and then eventually sent him to Korea, where he met my mom. Otherwise, he would have gone to Vietnam, and who knows if he would have made it out. In contrast, Earl had the opportunity to go to college at that same very time, and not have to deal with, having to worry about war. My mom and Earl were actually born a year apart from each other. She was born on the other side of the globe in mm-hmm. Korea mm-hmm. A couple years before the Korean War, a couple years after World War II. Her childhood, her being a toddler, was in the middle of a war. It has provided me some experience, some understanding of things that are, that a lot of people around the world and, quite frankly, immigrant populations understand and know. Growing up in working class St. Louis, is a heavily segregated place. My mom worked a couple of different jobs in order to put my sister and me through Catholic school, because our public school system was truly separate and unequal. And quite frankly, today, to this very day, our public school system is in serious trouble, and it's continuing to be attacked by things like charter school programs, some special religious schools, anything to extract the funds to our public education system so that we can continue segregation. These are things that I know intimately. I know these firsthand, and quite frankly, we are in the most diverse district of this state.
I think in a state that's not diverse really at all.
Correct. Right. But we are in the most diverse district of the state, and I think that it's time that we uplift some new voices from some other backgrounds, from some other lived experiences to represent us here. If we have all our currently our entire federal delegation, 2 senators, 5 representatives, 100% multimillionaires, 100% part of the 1%, 100% over the age of 62, 100% white, 100% property owners, that is not representative of the state. And when you're talking about citizen representation, when you're talking about democracy, it's about having people who are able to represent the entirety of their constituency and not just a small sliver of it.
So if someone wants to get involved in your campaign and learn more about it and help you out, what can they do?
Well, so first of all, we are different because we don't take corporate contributions, period. I think that it is important that you have representatives who are going to represent the people and not, these legalized people, these corporations. So you can find out more information at albertlee2020.com. I invite people to contribute there as well. You can volunteer there as well. We are out canvassing on a regular basis. We're making phone calls, phone banking. Quite frankly, we need folks to talk to their friends and neighbors to let them know that, hey, this cycle, you're actually going to have a choice. You're actually going to have a competent choice. You're going to have the ability to have a leader, to have a representative who's going to know the struggle, who's going to truly represent the people.
That's albertlee2020.com. We have been speaking with Albert Lee. He's a candidate in the Democratic primary for Oregon's 3rd Congressional District. If you'd like more information on Albert and his campaign, as we just said, it can be found at albertlee2020.com. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here. Your family's headed out on a red eye for
yeah.
Christmas, and you get to stay here with the dog and
yes,
campaign, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Well, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And for KBOO News In Depth, I'm Michelle Coppola.
Thanks, Michelle.